Well, let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Again, we are going to look, like we did this morning, at half the verse, because that in itself is sufficient for our text. Proverbs, and oftentimes in Proverbs, half the verse is sufficient, because in and of itself provides an entire proverb. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 17, the Bible says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil." Now the rest of the verse is good. "He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul," of course. However, we want to concentrate tonight on the highway of the upright. The highway of the upright, which is to depart from evil. Now before we go any further tonight with this text, what we need to do is pray. And I'm particularly desirous that we pray together tonight. Normally I might pray or have one man pray, but you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to have a couple of you pray tonight. We'd all be in the spirit of prayer just a little bit more tonight about the things that are here, that God can do what He wants to do in our lives with this text. Undoubtedly, there's application to most of us here with what's in this text. So let's do this. Mike Haven, if you'll pray for us tonight, and Rick Sal, if you'll pray for us tonight, let's take a little time before the Lord before we get into this text. Amen. 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 You know, tonight, this sermon on this text, "The Highway of the Upright is to Depart from Evil," this sermon is how to depart from evil. Now, if you go through the Bible and you think, okay, how do you depart from evil? I'm sure you can take a lot of texts and come up with a very long topical sermon on that. But if we confine ourselves to this text and consider that topic, I believe there are a number of things that we can learn right here from verse 17 that will help us to know how to depart from evil. Now, in order to depart from evil, obviously, you first have to recognize what evil is. That is, you have to look at it from the Bible definition. So tonight, when we take this text and say the highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and I say tonight we're going to talk about how to depart from evil, you think, well, I'm already saved. I'm here in church on Sunday night. Obviously, there's nothing in this text for me. I can sleep through tonight's sermon. But that's not the case, because everybody in here that's saved tonight still has to contend with evil and still has to depart from evil. Doesn't make any difference how long you've been saved or how well you are doing in your spiritual life today. All right, and so it's very important to make sure that you understand from the Bible what evil is. You know, when you're affected in your life by sin, it doesn't help for you to be able to sit there and say, my emotions are stressed or I'm having difficulty sorting this out, if you can't find what the problem is that you're having with sin and be able to identify it in the Scripture. Okay? The Bible definition is the one that clears it up. This afternoon, after I woke up from my nap, I was thinking about some things, and I said to the Lord, you know, I said, it feels like a darkness has enveloped me regarding something I was thinking about. And then a word from the Scripture came into my mind that identified a sin. And I said, well, that's that sin right there, envy, is responsible for this darkness. When properly identified, the light of the Scripture shone on the sin, and the darkness was dispelled. You cannot deal with evil until you deal with the biblical definition of that evil and properly define what it is that troubles you. I know that it'll mess with your emotion, it'll mess with your mind and stuff like that, but you've got to find out what it is. You've got to sort it out. And so if you're going to depart from evil, you first have to be able to look back there and say, okay, that's what that evil is that I want to depart from, and this is what I need to do about it. And then once you identify what it is, you make a conscious decision to depart from it. I don't want that in my life. I don't want that in my life right now. See, and when you put that little combination together, then you begin this process that we're reading here in verse 17 about departing from evil on the highway of the upright. For instance, if I want to depart from Corpus Christi and go to Victoria, then I go over here to Highway 77 and I depart Corpus Christi and go to Victoria. If I want to depart from evil, I get on the highway of the upright and I depart from evil on my way to heaven. You see, it's that same simple type of procedure. Now, if you don't want to depart from evil, then you don't have any business being on the highway of the upright. You need to stay back there in the evil where you are. And there are a lot of people who are plenty comfortable living in evil that don't really want that situation to change. But if you want that to change in your life, then there are some things in this text that you and I need to understand and do. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. All right, deceiving your own self. So make this a practical lesson on how to depart from evil. To depart from evil, you must, first of all, get on the highway of the upright. You got to get on it. See, it's a straight road. It doesn't wind, it doesn't curve, doesn't go up, doesn't go down, doesn't go through a bunch of rocks and dales and all that other kind of stuff. It is a very straight road, and it heads right toward heaven. Bob Jones Sr. said, the right road always leads out at the right place. So if you get on the road, the highway of the upright, if you are heading on that road, you know you're moving in the right direction, even if you can't see very far, because it is taking you away from evil and taking you toward heaven. But in order to depart from it, you got to get on that road. See, and it's called, look at what it says here, the first word in the verse. What is the first word in verse 17? Huh? The, whatever you, however you want to pronounce it. It's the highway of the upright. There's only one. You get in the idea today, you go down to the Christian bookstore and you look at the volumes of books that have been published by the Christian authors, you get the idea there are all kinds of ways to deal with this. When it comes to departing from evil, there is one road called the highway of the upright. And that's it. And so there's not a multiplicity of ways to deal with this. There are not many different highways. And when you get on that road, you got to be going the right way. You know why? It's a one-way road. People don't go up that road and come back from that road, on that road toward evil. It always, always travels away from evil. That's why it's a good road to get on. You know the way a lot of people live their lives? This way. They get up in the morning and they commit a sin that they've been having trouble with for a good part of their Christian lives. And when they are just having committed that sin again, they feel very ashamed, very upset. They get on their knees and they say, oh Lord God, I'm so sorry. I did it again. I don't want this evil in my life anymore, Lord. I feel guilty about this. I know I need to get this out of my life. And they get back up on their road. And they start traveling. And within a week or however long, they wind up right back where they were, having to confess that sin another time. You know what the problem is? They never got on the highway of the upright. They're in a roundabout. Do you know what a roundabout is? A roundabout is a road. We got on one of these in Paris. That was crazy. The 12 roads lead into this thing. Once you get in that thing, it's like a vortex. You just go round and round and round and round and round. I'm thinking to the guy that's driving this, how in the world is he ever going to get off this road? And a lot of people live their lives in the roundabout. Because they sincerely want to get this evil out of their lives, but they don't want to get it out of their lives by getting on the highway of the upright. They want God to take it out of their lives while they stay in the roundabout. That doesn't work. You can't do that. It's impossible. You just keep going round and round and seeing the same, you see the same scenery all the time. Man, I've been this way 115,000 times. I wonder why the scenery never changes. You know what it is? You've got it in your mind that this thing that you want is also accompanied with something else that you want. Like the pleasure of that sin. Or the person who is associated with that sin. And you're trying to have both and you cannot. If there's a person that's associated with that sin and you depart from evil, guess what? You're going to end up departing from evil and from that person. So the first thing you have to do to depart from evil is you must get on the highway of the upright. Second thing. In order to depart from evil, you must be upright on the highway of the upright. Think about that for a second. It's not enough just to be on the highway of the upright. The Bible says it is called the highway of the upright. It is for the upright. But it is possible that people who are not upright wind up on that highway every once in a while. And if you're not upright and you're on that highway, you're not going to depart from evil. Now, what does it mean to be upright? Well, I'm standing upright, vertical, erect. But concerning your behavior, to be upright is to be strictly honest and honorable before God. In other words, you can see what righteousness is in the Bible, and when you're living according to the righteousness in the Bible, you're upright. If you get on this highway and you're not upright, you will not depart from evil. All right, here you are tonight in church. Well, being in church is oftentimes, particularly a church like this where you're going to hear the Bible preached, is a good place to be on the highway of the upright. But may I tell you something? You can come to church. You can give. You can work in the church. And you can do what you're told from the preaching. But if you're not upright, you're not going to depart from evil. In other words, I am consciously aware that tonight, right here, this sermon applies to your life to some degree. I mean, why else would God say, preach that sermon to those people that are going to be here tonight? It applies to your life to some degree. Here you are in church, and having heard this sermon is not going to do you any good unless it changes your life to some degree. There are a lot of people who come to church, hear Bible, and have secret sins in their lives, and they never get away from them. And while they look like they're traveling on the road of the upright, truly, they're not growing. They're not changing. And the person who knows that is God Almighty. I'll tell you, the ones that have the toughest time with this initially are young people, teens. The stuff hadn't wrestled down into your heart yet. And the other is people who are older in the Lord that have had some decaying, corrupt sin going on in their lives, and they continue to deal with this thing until it comes out like a blister, and then you go, wow, what in the world happened to that person? The thing is, they were on the road, on the highway, but they never did get upright. So the first thing you do is get on the highway of the upright. Second thing is you be upright on the highway of the upright. And third thing is you travel on the highway of the upright. The highway of the upright is not a showroom floor. You want to go to a showroom floor? Go to the dealership. Because you won't see cars any prettier than the ones you see on the showroom floor. I mean, they've got the right leather smell, and they've got the sunroof back, and they got the doors open, and they got the chrome shining, man, and they got, I mean, it is, do they still use chrome? Okay, alright. A lot of products these days. I mean, they have that thing, I mean, looking good. Why? They're trying to sell a lot of cars. And you know, there are a lot of Christians who are living their lives on the showroom floor. The highway of the upright is not a showroom floor. It is for people who are moving, who are traveling on the highway of the upright. Do you know, you cannot put yourself in idle, or idle, excuse me, in neutral on the highway of the upright. I look back at my life when I was a teenager, which is having to look back quite a ways now. Way back. Pushing back, way back. Okay. But I still have very vivid memories of those years. Don't you? Well, I used to. I know, really, you know you have vivid memories of those even when people get older. They seem to remember the younger years better than they do what they had for lunch. Okay, so I remember those years, and I remember that I was idle in my youth. I was idle. I got bored. You ever get bored? I got bored when I was a kid. And when you get bored like that and you get out in the hustle and bustle of the traffic of the world, you want to get with something moving fast. You want to get with something that looks like it's got life. You want to get with something that looks like it's exciting. And usually, that's evil. Those are usually people that are being rebellious. Usually people that are doing things that if your parents knew you were doing, they'd be disappointed about. But man, this is exciting. This is fun. Something to do. I look back on those years now and I think to myself, I wish that I had not been so idle. Now I realize in the summertime we went down to the ranch, we were working cattle from sun up to sundown. You say, how in the world could you be idle? It's all up here in the mind a lot of times. Let that thing go down into neutral. What does the Bible, I mean, not the Bible, what do people say that essentially comes from the Bible? Principle. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Man, you ought to get your mind engaged with things that are going to help you. Read history. Read military testimonies. Read Bible. Read biographies of men that have lived for the Lord and find out what it is to be something other than what you are. Idleness will kill you. You can't get up on that highway and not travel. That highway is a highway that says, let's go. Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. God wants, listen, He says, one of the pieces of the armor that you wear is feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He means for you to get going and do something. You know, it's a thing, strange thing. You've been to an academy to buy a pair of tennis shoes? You can't go to academy and buy a pair of tennis shoes. Like, I mean, what we call tennis shoes when I was a kid. Can I have some tennis shoes? Tennies. We called them tennies. I want to buy some tennies. And that was Keds or Converse. Or PF Flyers. Okay? Now you go in there and they say, I did this one time. I said, I need to buy some, you know, tennis shoes. And I wasn't thinking in terms of tennis. I was thinking in terms of something other than boots and topsiders. Okay. And loafers. And the guy says, well, do you want cross trainers? Or do you want walking shoes? Or do you want court shoes? Or do you want, and I'm like, give me a break. I just want tennis shoes, tennies. He said, well, we don't sell those anymore. You got to buy this. Or you, and I mean, there's 1,000 different names. But the thing about it is, they're all designed for doing something. They're not house slippers. There's go associated with all of those things. And likewise, your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace because God expects you to get up and do something. When you're on the highway of the upright. You don't coast. So if you're in here today and you're young and you're in the teen area and you show up down here because mom and dad keep dragging you down here and you have to go listen to Tony teach and you have to come back here on Sunday night and listen to the preacher, why don't you put some of this stuff into practice? Hello, help me, parents. Amen. Get them, go do something about this. Really and truly. It's a road for traveling, and may I tell you something? Once you get on the highway of the upright, don't get off at any exit. Hello, not particularly those exits that are marked with those billboards that have enticing sin just off the road. That's not for you. That's for those people who are not upright. And when you're saved, you're to be upright and travel along that road and go right by that exit. That's not for you. Do you know there are no detours on the highway of the upright? What is a detour? Well, a detour is an alternate route to take you off the road you're on to bypass some sort of an obstacle or repair or pothole or something. But its intention is to keep you moving in the general direction that you're traveling and get you back on the road further down than where you got off, so you're still heading in the right direction. Amen? All right. Well, on the highway of the upright, there are no detours. Because there are no obstacles you need to avoid. There are no repairs. There are no potholes. Whenever you're traveling down the highway of the upright and there is a detour sign, that is a deception of the devil to get you off the highway. You need to stay on the highway. I'll tell you something else. To depart from evil, not only do you get on the highway of the upright and be upright on the highway of the upright and travel on the highway of the upright. It's not going to do you any good every Saturday to sit there in front of your TV like this with a remote control going, I'm so bored. Get up and go mow the grass. Take out the trash. Mop the floor. Iron your own clothes for a change. Do your laundry. Cook supper. Repair the roof. Go cut firewood for the winter. Go kill an animal and bring it home and feed the family. Go fish. You say, well, I don't know how to do any of those. Get up and go do something. I'm looking at a bunch of gray heads in here. We all got up and did something. Man, they didn't have to tell us, get out of the house and go play. They had to tell us, they didn't say bless God, but I'd say it now. You better be in here when the street lights come on. But boy, the rest of that day, we were gone. And I look at that and I think I was idle because I felt like I was wasting some time. Get up and go do something. Do you have to be told, brush your teeth? Why do I always have to be told everything, everything, everything? Go to bed. Get up. Pick up your clothes. Do you really have to be told that every single day? Get an alarm clock. Set it for yourself. Get up an hour early and read some Bible. Make things happen in your life. Travel. And just make sure when you're traveling on the road and the highway of the upright. And then the next thing is keep your eyes on the highway of the upright. Now some of you drive, some of you fly. The poor nutters are coming down, they'll hear, you know, an ant's taking the rollers out and vroom, right. I said, well, they've been introduced. I said, you know who that was you just went by? No, she said, I don't know who that was. Straightening the hair. I said, you just blew the doors off the nutters. If you drive like that, you cannot help but keep your eyes on the road. You got to know where you're going or it's going to be trouble. She went by so fast she didn't know who it was. I did. I knew who it was. Whew, wow. The Bible says don't look to the left hand, don't look to the right hand. You know, when people get in wrecks, they get in wrecks because they're distracted. That's why they said don't text and drive. Why? You do this and you're distracted. It slows down your reactions. May I tell you something? Life will do the same thing to you. You take your eyes off that highway of the upright for a little while, you'll find yourself distracted. The next thing you know, the devil's throwing a little obstacle down. The devil's done something and it tripped you up just big time. And I'll tell you something else you can't do. When you're on that highway of the upright, you cannot listen. You cannot sit in the back seat and look where you've been coming from. Why did we have to go to Bible Believers Baptist Church? I liked it perfectly well where we were. Why do you keep dragging me down to church every Sunday night? You know, the Jews were looking back like that when God took them out into the wilderness on the King's Highway. And you know what happened? They were traveling on the Highway of the Upright, but they didn't have their eyes on the Highway of the Upright where they were going. They had their eyes where they'd been. By the time they got to the land of Canaan, everything that they had missed about what they had back then, they brought with them, and they just set up shop when they got to the new place. And you'll do the same thing. Listen, you cannot do that. You have got to keep your eyes out in front of you and keep them straight out in front of you without looking to the left hand or the right hand to see what the rest of the world is doing. May I tell you something? They're not doing what you're doing. And they're not doing what you're supposed to be doing because they're not traveling on your road. You know something else you need to do when you're on the highway of the upright to depart from evil? You must follow the upright on the highway of the upright. As I said, in order to depart from evil, you've got to be upright on the highway of the upright. Well, there are some people who are on the highway of the upright that aren't upright. Well, that's a lot to say. I didn't even rehearse that. It came out pretty good. You say, really? Yeah. Listen, Jim Benny came here. Remember Dr. Jim Benny came here in March, and he talked to us about family and marriage and that kind of stuff? And he wrote a book on how to live purely, living purely in an impure world. That's an excellent book. There's very, very helpful information in there. So I would say to you, you'd be wise to follow what he said in there. He wrote a book called The Ministry of Marriage. You'd be wise to follow what he said in there. Why? Because that man has been traveling upright on the highway of the upright for a pretty good period of time, and there's proof in the pudding. You see how it's turned out down this way in his gray hair. You say, you know what? I think I'll get in right behind that guy and follow that guy. Sometimes people have said to me, well, I just don't know, man, we're older now. I just don't know what we can do in the church. I'll tell you what, when a man's lived some life and he's got some gray hair and his legs aren't under him anymore like they used to be, but he's living uprightly, you know what you make? A great example for young people to follow. Because you know what you are? You are proof that it ends up, that it's going in the right direction and it's going to end up in the right place. You're the stability. You're the proof. You're the guys further down the road that say to the young guys, I can do this and be married 52 years, praise God. Everybody else around them is falling out. They can't stay married 5 years. God gave the Bryants 52 years. Praise the Lord, man. That stuff works. And so follow the upright on the highway of the upright. Every once in a while, we find guys that have been on that highway of the upright, but they're not living uprightly. There's a pastor of a great big church that was up in Illinois that's in jail right now and will be for the next 10 years because he got in a counseling session with a teenage girl and did more than counsel. You say, that's disgusting. Yes, it is. But you know what? He wasn't upright on the highway of the upright. Do you understand? Follow the upright on the highway of the upright. And remember this. Remember. If you are on the highway of the upright and you've got secret sin going on in your life, do you know there's other people following you because they think you're upright on the highway of the upright? Listen. We were talking the other day, I was talking to Pastor Adam Thompson about the local church functions better as a body than it does as an organization. I preached that to you last Sunday night, remember? And in that message, he and I were just talking about that message, and he said, well, you know what it does? It provides, that understanding provides good accountability of the pastor to the people in the body, to the people in the church. Let me ask you a question. What do you think would happen to some of these young men and some of these young women here if it was discovered that I had committed some immorality last week? Now, I'm not trying to throw a damp water all over the meeting, but don't you know that I'm consciously aware of the tragic effect that would have on the people in this church? I have to be conscious of the fact that if I am on the highway of the upright, departing from evil, that there are Joseph Lennons and Jake Lennons and John Sullivans and Christian Salinas's and Rick Sowell's and Glenda Hagman's and Amanda Havens and the Tavis and my wife and other people right here. And if I get off that thing and make a misstep, it's going to be just like a derailed train. And there are going to be a bunch of cars that go off that track with me. And we cannot let that happen. We cannot let that happen. You have to be conscious. You don't live in a world all by yourself. Say, well, I'm not the pastor of this church. I just live over here. Yeah, but you got to be aware there's somebody on your tail. It could be your kids. You can't let something like that happen at all. Another thing you need to do on the highway of the upright to depart from evil is you must travel the speed limit on the highway of the upright. Enough said. So why do you say that? There are people that get saved. They want to redeem the time of the time they've spent off the highway of the upright. And they get into church and they get very zealous and say, bless God, I'm going to do everything that I possibly can for God. I'm going to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm going to go on visitation. I'm going to give all my money. I'm going to do all these wonderful things. And within 6 months, they have crashed their vehicle and they are stuck in a ditch, flipped over. I've watched it happen time and time again. You have to go at the pace that God travels on the highway of the upright and realize that many times it takes you years to fully depart from some of the evil that you've allowed yourself to get into. And you don't fix it in a day unless you go too fast and crash your vehicle. I know you want to be done with it. I know you want it out of your life. I know that you want to get as far away from the repercussions as you possibly can. But you can't travel any faster than God will let you go down that highway the upright. And it just takes time to put distance between you and the stuff you've done. You'll redeem it in time. Be patient. Be patient. And let God draw you away from it at the speed that He wants you to go. Another thing about departing from evil on the highway of the upright is you must refuel. You must refuel. You can't just get on that road and drive with the fuel that's in your tank right now and expect to make it down to the end of the road by the time you've come to the end of your life. You say, how do I refuel? It's very simple. Somehow or another, these things all seem to come back to the same basic principle. You got to get in here. You say, how do I do that? You get up in the morning and you get your tank full of gas. Now, I have lived in the Christian life, serving the Lord, continuously since 1986. I didn't say well, and I didn't say faithfully, and I didn't say exemplarily. I just said, you know, ever since 1986, we've been traveling, trying, you know, to get on that road of the highway of the upright, stay on that road. And I'm going to tell you something. In all those years, which I guess in a couple of years will be 30 years, in all those years, I haven't always gotten up every morning and read my Bible. I haven't prayed every day. There's some of those days where other things come in, and just like you, you get real busy and you get involved in a lot of things, and next thing you know, it's close to the end of the day, and you think, well, I sure can't read it now. I'm so sleepy. If I read one verse, I'll be asleep. And the only reason you pick it up to read it is so you can go to sleep. You ever been there before? Absolutely. We all have. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't refuel when you treat this book that way. And you get weak. And your car slows down and your battery starts running out of juice and you go down. You say, well, you just don't live the life that I live. You don't have the things going on in your life that I've got going on in mine right now. Yeah. But brother, we're all on that highway, the upright. And you can't travel on that highway unless you refuel. You say, well, how in the world am I going to concentrate well enough to be able to do it? I don't know what you got going on in your life, but I know what I've got going on in my life, and I had to find a way to refuel. I'll tell you, I've already said it once before, but I'll say it again. When we got ready to leave Guatemala, I told Randy and Maureen, I said, whatever this is here, I want to put it in a bottle and take it home with me, because this is working. We got back here, and you know what? There were some more changes that I had to make in my life. But what's happened is I go to sleep, and without setting an alarm, around 5:30 in the morning, I'm waking up. And when I do, I make my Guatemalan coffee. Boy, I'm going to order more of that when I run out of this too, I'm telling you. And I sit down with that cup, and I sit down with that Bible and read that Bible. Why? I have learned something. It refuels me for the highway of the upright. What you're doing tonight, under the preaching of the Word of God, refuels you on the highway of the upright. Don't come here and just say, I need to make my presence known, because they'll say, where were you Sunday night? I was looking for you. You weren't out of town, were you? What were you doing? Playing hooky? Don't show up here for us. Show up here for yourself. Get in here and let some... Listen, come in here and say, God, I am needy. I heard some preaching this morning, but I need more tonight. Speak to me. And He'll speak to you. You get in here under the teaching of the Word of God, and God teach you something out of the Bible that will help you, and all those things will refuel you so that you can travel well on the highway of the upright. You can't stay on that road and travel without having to pull over and stop if you don't refuel. It just doesn't work. So what do we talk about today? We said to depart from evil, you've got to get on the highway of the upright, be upright on the highway of the upright, travel on the highway of the upright, keep your eyes on the highway, follow the upright on the highway, travel the speed limit on the highway. Travel the speed limit on the highway and travel the speed limit on the highway. Just kidding. And refuel on the highway. Say, what do I do about that? Today, here's what you need to do. Listen very carefully. It's very simple. Very, very simple. The whole message is simple. But it's profound in its simplicity. Here's what you need to do. You need to figure out where you are in relation to evil in your life. And then you need to figure out where you are in relation to the highway of the upright in your life. Today, right now, where are you? And then what you've got to do is you've got to make the necessary correction with respect to evil in your life and with respect to the highway of the upright, and get yourself back in your lane, traveling the speed God wants you to travel, where He wants you to be. That's what you got to do. And I tell you, it'll be very, very helpful for you if you'll be honest with God tonight about where you are. And it will also be very, very helpful to you tonight, listen, to be honest with the others who are in your car. I got here with my wife tonight. We're traveling in the same car on this highway. If I'm struggling and I'm just having some difficulty, it might not be a bad idea for me to say to her, you know what? I find myself here right now in the highway of the upright, and I'm struggling with how to keep going. Because if anybody knows me, she does. And she might have some good advice. Children, you're here with your parents tonight. You would do really well to admit where you are. You know what you could admit? You could say, I've got some evil going on in my life, and frankly, I'm still up there in the introduction of the message. I don't want to get on the highway of the upright. I don't even want to be in the roundabout. I'm liking the evil I'm involved in. Now, I don't expect you to admit that to your parents. But if you would, just between you and them, they could help you. You say, in what respect? Pray for you. Give you some counsel where they've had a little trouble with that in their own lives at some point, been past, and say, you know what, I was there one time, and I'm not going to try to talk you out of what you're doing right now. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray for you that God will help you change your mind about that evil you're involved in, because I love you. And then when you decide that, you know what, I can't deal with this evil anymore, get out of that roundabout, get on this highway, and let's travel together on that. And I'll put my arm around you, you put your arm around me, and see if we can't keep each other in the lane. Just be honest. Be honest. I am very aware, and have been for some time now, that whenever we have a message in here, it doesn't make a difference. Randy preaching it, Tony preaching it, I'm preaching it, or somebody else comes in here and preaches it. God has talked to that individual about what He wants preached. This message tonight is something that God wants us to know. And He wants us to do something about it. Now find out where you are on the highway of the upright. Find out where you are in relation to the evil of your life and get that thing identified and corrected tonight so you can get back in the lane and go down that highway like you're supposed to. Amen? Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight for the opportunity to be able to look in this scripture. It's very simple. It's very plain. It's all about the same subject. But God, it's very profound in its simplicity. And I'm praying, Lord, you will help each person that's here tonight with their heads bowed to understand, am I loving this evil so much I don't want it to change? Am I not even on that highway? Am I on it but I'm not upright? And I'm on it but I'm just standing here on a showroom floor. I'm not traveling. And I'm distracted. I'm looking to the left and the right. I can't keep my eyes on the highway. Am I following the wrong person down the highway? Am I trying to do this too fast? Have I refused to refuel? What's my problem? Whatever that is, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will minister to us tonight and show us so that we can do something about what we have heard in here. And I ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.